period from 2012 to 2015 was Australia's dog days. Our dog days were when declining commodity prices led to a decline in the terms of trade. This decline in the terms of trade led to low nominal GDP growth. Low nominal GDP growth put tax revenue under great pressure. This meant expenditure needed to be tightly controlled to stop the budget balance blowing out. We can see the outlook for the Australian economy shown in budget paper number one. What is interesting here is the bottom line. The bottom line is nominal GDP. In previous commentary, we have noted that nominal GDP in our dog days from 2012 to 2015 was really only about 2%. Nominal GDP is how wages are paid, which means wages growth was pretty miserable. Nominal GDP is also how corporate profits are paid. This also meant that corporate profits were pretty miserable. Nominal GDP increased from around the 2% figure in the previous 3 years prior to 2016-17 to 5.9% in 2016-17. The government expects that nominal GDP then rose to 4.25% in 2017-18 and expects that it will increase to by around 4% in 2018-19, rising to 4.75% in 2019-20. In the 2 years after that, the average growth of nominal GDP will be around 4.5% per annum. This recovery in nominal GDP rescues Australia from its dog days. Faster nominal GDP growth rescues us from the misery of that period. It also means that tax revenues are now rising at a pace where the governments can fund things like individual tax cuts as long as they keep a steady line on budget expenditure. The government forecasts that consumer price inflation never rises above 2.5% in the budget papers. And they also forecast that unemployment will never fall below 5%. If that scenario actually occurs, the Reserve Bank need not go to work again until sometime in 2022, because there'll be no need to increase interest rates. The real cause of our dog day period was the decline in commodity prices and the decline in the Australian terms of trade from 2012 to 2015. It is this decline which inflicted low nominal GDP growth on the Australian economy. Since the beginning of 2016, we have seen a sharp recovery in commodity prices. The RBA index of our export prices has risen more than 20%. The terms of trade has made a similar but slightly smaller recovery. Now, the Australian Treasury thinks that the terms of trade will drift down from now on, but we've got a whole lot of reasons, including the expanding US budget deficit, for thinking that Australian export prices are going to be stable or continue to rise. So our view is that the outlook for the Australian economy is even a bit better than is portrayed in the budget papers. The effect of the recovery in commodity prices and the Australian terms of trade can be seen from an analysis in the budget papers in chart 7 of budget paper number 1. Here we see the extremely low level of nominal GDP from 2012 to 2015. The recovery in 2016-17 merely took nominal GDP growth to around the long-term average. The forecast is for the future period is lower than this, but we think this is just prudent budgeting. Higher growth levels might actually have been achieved. Now, where the money goes in this budget is interesting as always. This budget proposes to spend $488.6 billion, almost like real money, really. The largest section of spending by far remains Social Security and welfare. This will consume $176 billion, or 36% of spending. The next sector comes other purposes. What you ask is other purposes? Other purposes are the servicing of Australia's sovereign debt. It's the money we pay for interest for the national credit card. Spending here at $98 billion is bigger than any other sector of spending, with the exception of one, and that's Social Security and welfare. This sector, this debt service area, remains 20% of budget expenditure. Next comes health, which is expected to cost $79 billion, or 16% of total spending. Following this is education, which should consume $35 billion, or 7% of total spending. Only then do we see defence, which should spend $31 billion, or 6% of total spending. In the relatively smaller areas compared to the one we've talked about, transport and communication spends $9 billion, or 1.9% of the total, and fuel and energy spends $7.5 billion. And other sectors spend even smaller amounts. When we look at the increases in the budget from last year's budget, and we measure these as the actual numbers that were presented in budget time, this time last year, and the actual numbers that are presented in the budget, in this particular budget for 18-19. What we see is that some areas receive significant increases in percentage terms, and some of those percentage terms are even bigger when we look at them in absolute terms. Fuel and energy shows the biggest increase in percentage terms, and this is 8.7%. But this is still a relatively small $601 million. Social Security, on the other hand, is an awfully large $11.9 billion. And so the Treasurer said in the budget that we'd reduced the dependency of Australians on Social Security income to a low level of 15.1%. That may be the case. But that 15.1% is receiving a very high level of income. Public order and safety also showed an increase of 5.6%, and this amounts to a modest $282 million, modest in comparison. The centrepiece of this budget is the provision of individual personal tax cuts. This is achieved through a 7-year personal tax plan. This tax plan has 3 steps. The first small step begins next year. Those earning up to $37,000 will have their tax reduced by up to $200. Those earning more than $37,000 will have their tax reduced by up to $530 a year. Now that's achieved by setting the threshold for the tax rate of 37 cents in the dollar at $90,000 a year by the 1st of July 2018. The second step occurs in 2022 and 2023. The lowest tax rate of 32.5% will be lifted through a threshold of $42,000. The tax rate of 37 cents of the dollar will come in at an even higher level of $120,000. The third step occurs in 2024 and 2025, when the 37% tax rate will be abolished. Australians earning more than $41,000 a year will pay only 32.5 cents in the dollar, all the way up to the top marginal tax rate, which will be raised to $200,000. The total cost of these tax cuts is shown in the budget papers as $13.4 billion. These tax cuts are possible because rising commodity prices have generated rising GDP growth, which is generating rising income. The Australian income has now emerged from its dog days. During that period of dog days, falling commodity prices generated slow nominal GDP growth and slow government revenue growth. The only solution to this period was tight control on government spending. A recovery in commodity prices and a rise in the terms of trade has now generated faster nominal GDP growth and faster government revenue growth. The government can now afford to return that faster government revenue growth to the voters in terms of prudent tax cuts. Good luck is being accompanied by good management.